To the services of Fellowship Baptist Church here in Madison, Virginia. We're looking forward to what God has in store for us today. Today, a little different. We're coming to you by live stream, and we do not have an on-site service today. We'll be doing this through the end of March out of respect of our government's request, 10 or less congregating together. We do it out of respect for our local authorities, but we also do it for the well-being of our church family. We want to do our part in flattening the curve. So we would ask that you would continue to pray, and let's ask God to show us mercy in this time of judgment, that God would have mercy on us. And let's do our part in praying, not only for our church family here at Fellowship Baptist Church, but around the world as folks face this awful crisis that has come upon us. God is in control, and we want to keep that in mind. I'm going to sing a great song at this time. It's a song about knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. It's called Saved, Saved. And I'm glad I'm saved in the grace of God. Amen. Brother Marcus, you come and lead us in this good song, Saved, Saved.
For those watching, it's page number 247 in our green hymn book. It's Saved, Saved, all three verses. Sing it out.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for me. Sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arms. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his fire divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.
Saved in the grace of God. We're going to have a time of prayer while the men come and prepare to sing a special this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we can sing, I'm saved. We're so thankful that we know the reality of what it means to be saved in the grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us as we minister to many through the way of live stream today. We sense your presence among us, and we're thankful for the presence of the Lord. Surely the Lord is in this place, and we thank you for that. We pray, God, that you would anoint this ministry, anoint this service today. And I pray for many that are watching, Lord, that you would bless their hearts, that you would meet their need, but above all, that you would show yourself strong to them during this hour. I ask you, Lord, in these uncertain times to help us to focus on some certain things, and that is that thou art God, and beside thee there is none other. There's none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We pray, O God, that you would bless the singing, the preaching of your word, not only here through this live stream ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church, but God, around the world, where men of God will be standing and preaching your word, and people will be singing the songs of the faith. Honor your word and meet the needs of your people. I pray for that one today that may be tuning in that has never been saved in your grace. May they know what it is to experience the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. May they come to you, repent of their sin, and be saved, that they too could sing, saved by his power divine. Lord, I ask you now that you would magnify the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have our men's quartet to come at this time. Men's quartet will be coming. While they're coming, I want to ask you, if you would, for our live stream service, that you would get a Bible, you would get something to write on, and something to write with, so you could follow some instruction as far as the preaching of the word, and then some of the instruction on some of the services and some of the things that we're going to be doing here at Fellowship Baptist Church moving forward. So get your Bibles out and get you a pad or piece of paper and something to write with so you could follow along with us. This is our men's quartet. They're going to sing for the glory of God at this time.
Do you know how it feels to know something's missing, to hear a still small voice you just keep dismissing? Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died?
Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered, and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Do you know how it feels when your cold heart has melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still have the feeling that you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real.
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
And to know that it's real.
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Amen. We continue to know how it feels. I trust you got that piece of paper, that notepad or pencil, something to write with, because we will be giving some instructions and some information as time goes on here this morning. We're going to begin with our missions moment as we come to you. Our April missions revival has been rescheduled. We're going to reschedule for August the 19th, or the 9th, excuse me, through the 12th. That's August 9th, 9 through 12. Dr. Mike Edwards will be our keynote speaker. Three of those missionaries that would have been with us here in April have been able to reschedule and be able to come back. So we want you to mark your calendar for August 9 through 12. The Stalkup, the Craig family, the Dakus, they will be with us. The Tingstons, we've been able to reschedule for another time during the year. But pray for the Johnsons. They're looking to leave at the end of April and be back in Brazil serving the Lord there, and would not be able to reschedule with us. We want you to pray for all of our missionaries, particularly those on deputation and furlough. Meetings have been canceled as I talked to a lot of them this week. Their meetings have been canceled as they're here in the States to raise funds to be able to go to the field or return and be better funded. So we want to pray for all of our deputation and our furlough missionaries during this time. Offerings they receive while traveling is also was a help to them in being able to maintain their travels, and they won't have those as well. Those that had planned to be leaving for the field have drastic changes to their schedules. But we know that God has a plan for each and every one of them. He's in total control of what's going on across this country and around the world, and He's going to supply for our missionaries in and through Fellowship Baptist Church and other Christians that believe in grace giving and sending the gospel around the world. Well, we want to talk a little bit about giving this morning. As we continue to support our missionaries during these times of uncertainty, it's going to be important for us to continue our faithfulness to God through our grace giving offerings. With the rescheduling of our April missions revival, I'm asking that you continue to give your grace-giving offerings, your faith promise offerings, on up into August when we meet again with our mission revival. Continue with what you've committed to. If you have a little extra that you could send, that would be good as well, as we have such a desire to be able to help our missionaries during this time with special needs and times when they may not have the things that they need. You see, Fellowship Baptist Church supports 70 missionaries around the world, 70 missionaries that count on local church, that look to God to supply them through local church for their every financial need. So we want to continue to give at our present commitment. As you're enabled, give a little extra so we can continue to help them. 17 missionaries are scheduled between April 20th and March 21st. To come to Fellowship Baptist Church and stand in this very pulpit and share with us what God has for them, what the ministry that He has called them to. Well, God has accomplished a great work in our missions program, and as we rely on Him, He will continue to supply through His local church, allowing us to help supply for those of our missionaries that are in need and have special needs during this time. Let's pray for our missionaries. God, we thank you how you use our local assembly to help missionaries around the world. We thank you for the position that you've put us in to be able to continue that. And I pray, oh God, as we consider our missions giving between now and the month of August, Father, that you will help us to maintain. Help us to maintain, Father, the giving that we have had over the last 12 months so that we might continue to support these missionaries and help those that we need to help with special needs. God, be with each one of them, those that are on deputation and on furlough. I pray, God, that you would supply their every need, provide them with homes, to places to be able to go and live in during these times of cancellation. I pray, God, that you would supply their financial needs so that they might be able to support their family. I pray, Father, that you will help them to use the telephone, to be able to make contact, social media, to make contact with churches, Bible-believing, grace-giving churches around this country during this time. And I pray, Father, that you will bless the missions program, continue to bless the missions program here at Fellowship Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust you got that pad of paper and that pencil. We're going to give just some information to you about offerings moving forward. We generally would take our offering at this time. And it's a time that we want to continue to be obedient to God the Father through our giving, through our tithes and our offerings in our ministry. We have three ways that we would suggest that you could continue to give during this time. First, you may send your offering by USPS. That's our postal service. The address here is 725 Gate Road, Madison, Virginia, 22727. If you choose to drop a check in the mail with your tithes and offerings, we would encourage you to do that. Otherwise, you can go to our website. We've made it easy for you to go to the website of FBCMVA. That's FBCMVA.com. And you can go follow the steps through there where that you might continue to give. And then something that I do quite often is I sit down at my desktop or at my computer and I go into my banking system and I make transfers or use that system as a way to, through my bill pay, where the bank will send my offerings to my local church. So those are three ways. USPS at 725 Gate Road, Madison, Virginia, 22727. The website of FBCMVA.com, or else you can go through your bank and the avenues that they have. Some of our expenses will be reduced while other expenses can possibly increase during this time. Church families who may have reduced income or have lost their income completely may need some help from the church family. It is certainly tax return season. And sometimes during tax return season, God may just lay it on your heart to give a little extra special gift, possibly to our nursery renovation program that we have going on, the construction that we have going on now. God is blessing us with many new babies. And thus, we need to expand our nurseries. Our annex building is complete. We're using it for God's glory. But now we go into this renovation. You could possibly give a special gift toward that, or a building fund. Our property out on 29, we're wanting to begin to punch an entrance in there and do some things this year in the amount of $72,000. And you may want to give to the building fund through these avenues during this time. Well, as we worship the Lord in giving, it's not unlike any other Sunday morning. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to take our offering. And we're going to remember it is times like this that God will continue to be faithful as we're faithful to Him. Father God, I pray that you would take our offerings this morning. They'll come in many different forms, whether it's by mail, by our website, possibly through our banks. God, I pray that we might be faithful during this time. We might be faithful in our giving to you, so that this ministry and ministries around the world may continue to help people to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in places that we're not even able to go, and to cover the expenses of the church as it must continue in its ministries here in Madison, Virginia. God, thank you. Thank you for those that continue to give. We thank you for your blessings on our families. God, I pray that you'll take our offerings. I pray, Father God, that you will increase them so that we might continue the work. In Jesus' name, amen.
He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father, would love us with the love that would not cease.
Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me.
For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe.
He goes beyond
my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything
that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
I stand amazed when I think the King of Glory should come to dwell within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am,
for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything
that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
He's everything
that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more.
More than amazing. More than marvelous. More than miraculous could ever be.
He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
That's what Jesus is to me.
Amen. That's what he is to me too. I actually have never met anyone that knows Jesus that's not the way they feel about him. He is more than wonderful. Well, if you have your Bible, I would ask you to open it to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. This is one of my favorite sections in the New Testament, beginning in the latter part of chapter 4. Now, we'll not go there, but we're going to be in Mark 5. But when you go back to the latter part of chapter 4, on through the entirety of Mark chapter 5, you have what many people call the incurables, the Jesus conquering the incurables, the disciples on the boat there with the storm and danger. And then you have when they got to the other side, there was the man of Gadara, the demoniac, the devils. So Jesus conquered the danger of the disciples, the devils of the man of Gadara. And then he meets this young man here that we'll talk about, with a daughter that had fallen sick. And eventually he conquers the death of that situation, and then he conquers the disease of this woman who had a disease in her body, an issue of blood. The reason I felt like the Lord led me to this passage of Scripture is because of the times that we find ourselves in presently here, not only in our country but around the world. I think that the message that we need to be sharing with others is that Jesus is more than enough. He's all we need in times like these. Now, we do need to exercise caution and precaution. I've had several people to ask if I thought this was the judgment of God upon our country. Well, I can't argue that it would be. I'll tell you this, if it was the judgment of God, we can't argue anything about it. America certainly is in a position and done some things that would bring about the judgment of God. I'll tell you a way you can pray, though. We can pray as Habakkuk prayed, God, in the midst of judgment, remember mercy. Have mercy on us. God, have mercy. So as I get back to this, and I do want to say something before I get into the message, because a lot of people just have this mindset, well, you know, you're having live stream and you're not exercising faith by showing up at the church, and that's not my place, and I can't speak for other pastors, and I can't speak for other congregations, the leadership body of Fellowship Baptist Church, the pastors, the deacons, and good leaders of the church. We got together and we prayed. We sought the face and the mind of God, and God gave us what I believe this direction, that we would have live stream services throughout the remainder of March and exercise some precaution out of respect for our president and the authority that God has placed over us, Romans 13. In your Bible. And then not only that, as I mentioned earlier, the well-being of our congregation. We need to consider the well-being of our congregation out of respect for our community. I just feel like it's our part as a Bible-believing, a God-fearing people to do that. Well, some would say, well, you know, you're not exercising faith when you do that. Well, I could say if you wear a seatbelt, you're not exercising faith. Right? I mean, I trust God, but I wear a seatbelt. Right? I own a gun. And that's for those of you who might get mad at me after the preaching of the word this morning. Amen. I own a gun. But that doesn't mean I don't trust God. I do own a gun. I lock my doors at night. Amen. You know. So, you know, you can exercise precaution and still have faith. I just want to make it very clear. I trust God with all of my being. I love Him and I trust Him. So us doing live stream has nothing to do with the leadership body or the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church not trusting God. We trust our God because we know our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Well, let's get to this passage of Scripture. If you're at home, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you're here, I'm going to ask you to stand, because I just believe in standing out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. And I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. We'll pick up in verse number 22. Now, what's happening here is that the Lord Jesus has been very busy ministering to people. He'd been through the storm with the disciples, and he got to Gadara, and we know what happened there, the demoniac of Gadara. It's really interesting to me when I study this. It's a message in itself. There were people who were glad to see him go. And then as he arrived to the other side of the coast, there were people who were glad to see him come. You know, that's still the way it is. Amen. There's just some people that's glad Jesus is on the scene, and there's just some people glad to see him go. I'm one of those that's glad he's on the scene. I am so thankful that Jesus meets with us. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers." Now this is after he had passed over from Gadara and he had gotten to the other side of the shore. It says, "There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him," when Jairus saw Jesus, "when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death." We would say it this way in our day, lieth at death's door. That's kind of a vernacular that we use. We don't really use the point of death. We kind of say he's at death's door. In other words, my daughter is really close to dying, very sick, sick unto death. "My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, in this hour, I pray as your word goes out, that it would be a challenge and an encouragement to all that will hear. Again, we pray, Lord, that you would comfort your people, that you would encourage your people, and we pray that you would convict your people. I pray for those that may be tuning in today for the very first time at a service of Fellowship Baptist Church, that they would be attentive to your word, and that your word would do a work in their heart. You would draw sinners into yourself, and they would be saved by your grace. You would minister to the saints of God, to the need of their life and their heart. But above everything, I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted through the preaching of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I look at this passage of Scripture, there are several things that just pop out. It's just kind of hard to put them in some form of delivery form to where you can get the truths. There's so many. You kind of have to pick and choose what you're going to say and what you're going to leave out. And so I want to start by saying, as I mentioned earlier, that this is a time where just one after the other, really the Gospel of Mark is that way, just one happening after the other. Mark is the action gospel. One after the other, Mark just goes from one event to the other where Jesus exhibits his power. We come to this situation that's a very difficult situation. It's a man in desperation. And as I was thinking the last couple of days, I thought about how that these are desperate times. There's people that feel that they're so uncertain what to do and how to approach and how to go about in the time that we're in. And I thought about this man, how desperate he must be. And so I want to just focus on the man just for a moment. There's three main characters in this, and there's several characters, but there's three main characters in this account of the Scripture. There's Jairus, of course. There's his daughter. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll focus on those three. Now, there's many others. There's Peter, James, and John that Jesus took in with him. There's the multitude. There's the mourners. There's many other people. There's a throng of people that couldn't even be numbered, so large that they just thronged Jesus to where it delayed him from getting to Jairus' home. And so while there's a lot of people in this scene, there's three that we'll concentrate on. Let's think with Jairus. Let's start with him. And the Scripture says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." And I thought about Jairus. Jairus by name. So here's a man that... church-going guy, and I'm going to bring it up to our day, okay? He's a church-going guy. He's a ruler. He's a leader in the church, and yet he finds himself in a very troubling time. And when I thought about this, I thought about myself, and I thought about some of the leaders of Fellowship Baptist Church. I thought about some of the leaders of churches around our country. During this time, even as we face it right now, I thought about how that trouble is no respecter of persons. How that tragedy doesn't just pick and choose. That, you know, even leaders, even rulers as in this situation, church-going people, you know, trouble is something that comes to us all. So we can't really say that, well, trouble's just for a few. Trouble comes to us all. But what we can do is we can hone in and see, how do we handle trouble when it comes? See, we can't stop trouble from coming to us. We can't. But what we can do is we can make the decision by the grace of God how we're going to handle trouble when it does come. So here's a man by the name of Jairus. And he had some decisions to make. And I mean, they were not easy decisions. I want you to think with me just for a moment. The Spirit of God was very careful to let us know he was not just a ruler, but he was one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, this is the group of people that, well, they didn't think very highly of Jesus at all. I mean, they were really enemies of him. And so I want you to think about this. Here's a man that a lot of people that ran in his circles, and when I say a lot, I'm going to say a high, high percentage of people that ran in Jairus' circles, they didn't think much of Jesus at all. As a matter of fact, they sought to kill him. They were always in opposition against him, and they were always trying to debunk his teaching and to find fault in his life and in his claim. And so Jairus, when his daughter got sick, he had a decision to make. I've heard about this man, Jesus, and I've heard some negative things about him. I've heard that he's an imposter. I've heard that he's a fake, that he's come in the wrong spirit, that he's of the spirit of Beelzebub, and on and on and on it goes. And then on the other end, he's heard some stories. Well, you know, I've heard that there's blind people that have been made to see from him. I've heard that there's people, their lives have been changed. And that's really unlike what it is today. You know, whether you're a part of this church family or you're part of another church family or you're not a part of a church at all, we've all heard things about Jesus that we personally have to make up our minds how we're going to respond to what we've heard. As we shall see here in just a few moments, it really matters how we respond to what we've heard. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned in my life, and I hope that you are learning if you haven't already learned. Really, I wouldn't believe much of what I heard at all. And I'm not talking about just media or social media. I'm talking about you be very careful about what you listen to and what you put your stock in, especially when it comes to this person, Jesus Christ. You be careful. And so Jairus done this. Jairus, I believe, evaluated what he had heard, and then he made a decision based upon that evaluation. Now, here's something that I believe that really drove his decision. His one and only daughter was getting ready to die. It's amazing how your little girl will change your decision. Our children change our decisions. You see, it's easy to say what we would do and how we would do it and what we wouldn't do and what we how we wouldn't go about it until God brings situations in our lives that help form our thinking for more than just us. And that's what happened with this man right here. Notice what the scripture says. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers, a man of prominence, position, prestige in the community. I mean, he was well known. That's what we're being told here. One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, that's not something you would expect a ruler to do. That's not something you would expect somebody that's leading other people. But this is what it tells me. Here's a man that's desperate. Here's a man that's been brought to a place in his life to where he realizes there's absolutely nothing that I can do. So I want you to listen to this point very, very intently, okay? There's going to come a time, if there hasn't already, in my life, in your life, in every life, to where we realize this is out of our control. We may be in that situation right now, by the way. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing we can do, but I will say this, there's very little we can do. And what we can do, we should do. But there's just some things in life that our hands are tied. We can't do it. And I believe Jairus was here. I believe that's what drove Jairus to Jesus. I believe that in any other situation, Jairus would not have come to Jesus. But he was in a situation where he realized that there's absolutely nothing that no one else can do to help me in this situation. As a matter of fact, when you study this chapter, that's the way the whole chapter is. When you go back to the man of Gadara, the demoniac, the Bible says no man could tame him. No man, no human being, no one else could do anything with this demoniac. But Jesus could, amen? And then you see this woman with the issue of blood. She had tried many things of many physicians, and she was none the better, but worse. You know why? Because no man could do anything to help her. Here's Jairus, and no man could do anything to help him. I'm glad to report to you that when no man, no human being, no one, no society, no organization can do anything to help you, Jesus can help you. Amen. Jesus can help you. Amen. And Jesus came to Jairus. Or Jairus came to Jesus, and the Bible says that he came to him in a certain way. I like this. I like the way that Jairus approached Jesus. I have preached whole messages on this because it is really something. It is really something. There are people that have come to Jesus, and when they turned, they walked around sorrowful. The rich young ruler was one of them. Sorrowful. Now, people who come to Jesus and walk away that way, it's because they come with the wrong motive. It's because they come with the wrong approach. There is a way that you approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not with pride and arrogancy, naming and claiming it, and telling God what he has to do. We are to come in humility. We are to come bankrupt. We are to come to God and say, God, there's nothing I can do. If anything gets done, God, you're going to have to do it. God, we need you to do it. And that's the only way that we're going to get something from God, is total dependence on God. Just saying, God, I have nothing to offer in this. I have nothing in my hand I bring to this situation. God, I need you to do something. I want you to notice that's what Jairus did. When Jairus came to Jesus, first of all, the Bible says when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, here's a ruler bowing to a carpenter. I want you to think about that. All right? Here's a ruler bowing to a carpenter. That had to be very difficult for him. But as I said earlier, when you get your children, when you get things that really mean something to you, when things really get to your heart, when God really puts his finger on something that means more to you than your pride and your position in life, then you will find yourself in the position prostrate before God as Jairus did. And the scripture says that he fell down at his feet when he saw him. So I have written down here that he came reverently. He came humbly. Isn't that the way that people ought to approach Jesus Christ? Reverently and humbly. I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. I have little to no respect to a person that would refer to my Lord Jesus Christ as JC. That is not who Jesus Christ is. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of lords and the kings of kings. He is the prince of all princes, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so he came reverently. He came humbly. Notice what else he did. He fell at his feet now, right there in front of everybody. You say, was there a lot of people there? Well, I want you to look down just in a moment, in verse number 24, the latter part. It says, and much people followed him and thronged him. You better believe there was a lot of people. This would have been hard for Jairus to do had it been in the privacy of his home. But Jairus done this before Jesus on the shore, where there was so many people that Jesus couldn't even hardly make his way through the crowd. He fell down before all those people. Isn't that something? That's something to me, that Jairus was willing to humble himself like that. You know, that's really what we all need to do. We need to humble ourselves before God. I want to just say this while we're in this situation with this virus, and I want to say this. Listen, I respect governmental leaders. I respect the CDC. I respect those, and I believe we ought to follow as much as our conscience dictates. We ought to follow what they put out there. But they're not who we're looking to solely to take care of this. Brethren, we need to get in touch with heaven. We need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And ask God to show us grace and mercy. We don't deserve God's grace and mercy, but we need God to help us. We need God to do something for us. And so here Jairus fell down humbly, reverently, and he asked the Lord something. The Bible says in verse number 23 that he besought him greatly. That's passion. You see, not only did Jairus come before him humbly, not only did Jairus come before him reverently, but he did so passionately. I don't have a lot of confidence in folks who just have this, well, what if type of prayer life. Right. Yeah, well, we're just going to throw something up there and hope it lands in glory. Hey, listen, that's not the way we're to pray. That's not the way we're to approach God. We're to approach God the way Jairus did, humbly, reverently. Look again in verse 23. And he besought him greatly, That's passion. That word basalt means literally earnestly, begging. I believe he was doing it repeatedly. God have mercy. God have mercy. Jesus, Master, do something for me. Do something for me. It's my daughter. It's my only daughter. She's lying at the point of death. God, do something for me. See, when we get to that place, then we'll know what it is to do business with God. God had brought Jairus to that place. He had brought Jairus to that place, and the Bible says he besought him greatly, and so we see passionate. He came to him humbly. He came to him reverently. He came to him passionately. But look at this. He also came to him prayerfully, where it says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee." As I said, this was a church man. It's a man of the synagogue. But now, he didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. He didn't. But his heart's beginning to turn. Faith is beginning to be born in his heart. And he's beginning to believe some things that he had heard, not on the negative, but on the positive. Maybe this Jesus is the Christ. Maybe he does possess the power. Maybe he can heal the sick. Maybe he can do a work in my family. And so the Bible says that he approached Jesus, Jairus. So we see this man, Jairus. And we see where he came to Christ and he came to Jesus. He had this need, and it was a great need. And he said, "I want you." Now I want you to watch what he said in verse 23. He said, "I want you to come, and I want you to lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now, brethren, that's faith. He's basically saying, if you don't do something, I don't think my daughter's going to live. And so, God, I need you to do something. You know, in this crisis in which we're in, we need God to do something, don't we? We really do. We need God to show himself in a mighty way. I'm here to tell you, God can and God will. I don't think every story has a happy ending. I'm not a fairy tale kind of guy. But I do believe this. I believe when God's will is done, it's going to be okay. And that's what we want. We want God's will. The Bible says this. In verse number 24, it says, "And Jesus went with him." Amen. I'm glad Jesus doesn't turn away. Now, Jesus knew everything about Jairus. All right? Jesus knew what was going on in his life. He knew his position in life. He knew the position of those that Jairus worked with, of that whole group, that whole religious body. He knew their position, and yet Jesus cared about this man. Now, this tells me something. And there may be somebody tuning in today. I don't know. Our church family, I have great confidence that our church family loves the Lord, wants to do the right thing, wants to serve God with their lives. But you know, I also realize as we minister to people in our community and surrounding communities, maybe even somebody listening to this today would say, you know, I don't have that confidence in Jesus. I'm not sure that Jesus is the answer. I want to tell you, I hope you would reconsider that. And I hope you listen very intently. You see, you need to humble yourself and come before Jesus as this man has. And ask him to give you mercy and to show you something. And God will first of all show you your need. This man seen a need. And then he came to Jesus with it. And then verse 24 says, "And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him." Now it sounds like that this is going to be another one of those stories where a blind man comes to Jesus or someone comes to the Lord and Jesus speaks a word or he reaches out and touches them and everything's going to be okay. You know, I'm glad when stories have those kind of bodies and endings. I really am. I think it's great. But not every story has that kind of ending. So something happens. And I want us to pay very close attention to what happens. Because I have learned in my life that God doesn't operate on our timetable. There are so many times that I wanted God to do it and I wanted to do it in my time. I not only wanted God to do it, but I wanted him to do it in my way and I wanted him to do it in my time. And I've learned through these years of serving God that that's not the way God works. It's not. And that's the reason a lot of people get discouraged with God. And they get put out with quote-unquote religion and church and the Bible is because they have framed in their own minds. And listen, I'm guilty as the next man on some occasions to where we come to God and we say, "God, this is what I want, this is how I want it, and this is when I want it." And then we leave it with God and we think, "Okay, God, now get with it." Well, that's not the way God works. So this man did come and he did present his need to the Lord and he asked God to do something in his life. And he asked Jesus, would you do this? And Jesus went with him. Verse number 24 plainly says that Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. But now here comes something. Verse number 25 says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood. Now I find this amazing. And I'm not going to get into detail. I may even bring this in the evening message. I don't know. I have some other thoughts on my mind. But this is something. So here's this woman. Now think about this. Here's this woman that at any other time would not have been a delay, would not have gotten in the way of what Jairus wanted to be done. But in God's timing, these people send him away from the Gadara. He lands on the shore and gets off, and here comes this man, Jairus, and he presents his need, and he gets up, and Jesus is going with him, and here's this woman, just one. There's a whole bunch of people in this crowd. I'll never be convinced that this is the only person in the crowd other than Jairus that had a need. And yet here's a woman that stepped up, this certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood, just so happened to be the same amount of time that she had an issue of blood that the age of Jairus' daughter. When you read Matthew, you find that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. And so here's this woman, and verse 26 says she had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had. Now, she was another one of those people that had tried everything she knew, and she had heard that Jesus, in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. And so on the other end of Jairus is this woman who's thinking, hey, there he is. And she's trying to make her way to him, but maybe because of her physical inability, I don't know, she don't get there before Jairus. And so in her heart, it's sinking. She's thinking, oh my goodness, you know, today's not going to be my day. And Jairus is there, but then as Jesus begins, this woman done something that is just of great faith. You talking about hard for Jairus to approach Jesus as a leader and a church worker and a part of a religious body that would not accept Jesus. Here's a woman, which in this day, women among this people group, they were not looked on very highly. And here she was with a disease, no doubt, maybe a contractible disease, I don't know. And here she is in this crowd, and instead of just giving up and saying, you know what, today's not my day, God done something in her heart that made her swell up in her faith. God gave her a faith so strong. Her need was so great that she said, I've tried everything and everybody. I've just got to get to Jesus. And so the Bible says that she went and she touched the hem of his garment. Isn't that something? That's something to me. What a faith this woman had. Now, in the meantime, here's Jairus, and he's like some of you on the way to work on a busy 29, running about 20 minutes late, and everybody won't get out of your way. And I mean, listen, I want you to put yourself just for a moment in Jairus's shoes, okay? And then we'll bring this to a close. Your daughter is in the back seat of your vehicle. She's dying. You're rushing down 29 to get her to UVA. That's our area. Your hospital in your area. And there's a wreck or there's backed up traffic and you can't get through. That's what happened here. That's what happened. There's people thronging him, even to the place where you'll notice when Jesus, in verse number 30, said he knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched thee? See, there were so many people today were just kind of bumping and all, you know, they were not practicing social distancing. Amen? So here they are. And Jairus is wondering, well, wait a minute. I got here first. I got here first. But I never see that in Jairus. Matter of fact, Jairus is silent throughout this whole thing. Now, there's a great lesson to be learned here. I believe that character is built in delays. God teaches us trust. See, God gives us faith for where we are. I'm amazed at how God gave Jairus the faith to come to him. And then God increased his faith. If you'll notice in verse number 23, he said, if you'll just come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, she shall live. That's faith. And then Jesus in verse 24 went with him. Now Jairus is, listen, he's walking on the cloud nine of faith, okay? He's thinking, man, this is going to get done. Amen. Jesus is coming home with me. And then this woman shows up. And he's thinking, whoa, wait a minute. This is not in the plans here. What's going on? Well, if we don't learn anything else, and there's many lessons, and as I said, we may come back to this because I want to finish this up. We can learn a great lesson here. God does not operate on our timetable. So, hey, you know, preacher, we got 2 weeks, and then I want all this social distancing. I want this hand sanitizer. I want all this stuff. I want everything to go back to normal, whatever your normal is, all right? Well, I think we all would like that. And God may provide that. I don't know. But if God doesn't, that doesn't mean God doesn't care. And it doesn't mean that God's not at work. God was at work, but God was doing something in more than just Jairus' life. God was doing something in everyone's life that was there, whether they realize it or not. In particular, this woman. So there may be someone that you don't know that's going to show up in your life unexpected, and it's going to cause a delay in your life, and God's going to test us through a delay. God will test us in a time of waiting. The Bible over and over again says, wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God wants us just to slow down sometimes. And I don't know that God's not doing some of this just to get us to slow down a little bit, you know? Just slow down and be still and know that I'm God. And I believe that was the message to Jairus this day. Jairus, just slow down, okay? My power is not limited to you. My time is not limited to your need. So just slow down and trust me. And if there was ever a message for our day and our hour, it's just slow down and trust me. Let's finish this out. So what we do, okay, what we do, how we react in interruptions says a lot about us. Okay? We don't want to get so selfish and we don't want to get so narrow to where we believe that if it's not done in my way and in my time, then it's not worth doing or God's not at work. No, we don't want to get that way. How we respond in delays, in interruptions, says a lot about the strength of our faith and the placement of our faith. So this woman comes along, and just like you in that scenario, how would you act? All right? Would you be ready to run through all that traffic to get your daughter to the hospital? Would you be okay with that? Would you sit there? I mean, so I want you to put yourself in this man's place. It'd be a very difficult thing to do. I see where he says nothing. I see where he says nothing. Jesus deals with this woman. And as he dealt with her and told her that he's going to heal her, I personally believe that Jairus needed that. The latter part of verse number 34, she was going to touch him and go off, but Jesus called her back and said, hey, come here. And he told her publicly in verse number 34, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Verse 35, let's wind this out. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Right? It's over. It's done. Remember earlier when I said be careful what voices you listen to? Okay? Be careful. Jesus can't do anything. God doesn't have anything to do with this. God's taking his hands off of this. And everything and anything else you may hear is probably not scriptural. So you be careful what you listen to, and God help me to be careful what I listen to. And so while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's how certain. Now, he came from this house, so it must have been an acquaintance, maybe a friend, I don't know, maybe a family member. Coming from his house saying, just give up on Jesus, give up on God, give up on faith, give up on your daughter, give up on your children, give up on it all. That's what some people say. That's some people's mindset. But I'm glad that that wasn't God's mindset. Look at what the scripture says. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, and I believe this is the message that God has for our church family and for really our world today, be not afraid, only believe. What a message. Be not afraid, only believe. Don't lose your faith in the troubled time. Because things didn't happen the way you thought it was going to, because this was not as light as you thought it was in the beginning, or because it's not over sooner than you thought it was going to be over, because it spread further than you thought it would spread. Don't be afraid. Just believe. This is not a time to get our eyes off of God. This is not a time to lose our faith. This is not a time to start pointing fingers. This is a time to band together, to pray, get hold of the God of heaven, and say, God, show yourself strong to us during this hour. Do something. Jairus listened to the voice of God. Jairus listened to the voice of Jesus. Be not afraid, only believe. I believe Jairus listened to him. I do. Now, you know what this tells me? This tells me until that person came out and started saying this, Jairus wasn't too shook up during that delay. Jesus didn't even address that. It doesn't appear, it just appears that Jairus was standing by. I believe he was concerned, but I don't think he was getting all out of sorts. Not until these people come running out and said, it can't happen, it's over, it's done. Nope. Not at all. When they said that, Jesus immediately said, be not afraid, only believe. Look at verse 37. He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He cometh to the house. Okay? So despite delays, here's what I'm to learn from this. Here's what you're to learn from this. Just because God doesn't do it our way doesn't mean God's not going to do it. Okay? Verse 24 says he headed out with Jairus, and God always does what he says he's going to do. Amen. Always does what he says he's going to do. May not be the way we think and the time we think, but God's going to do what he says he's going to do, and he did it. He came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now here's another great word that Jairus needed to hear. Number one, Jairus needed to hear, be not afraid, only believe. Number two, here's a great word that Jairus needed to hear, your daughter's not dead. But my friend said he was. Your friend is not God. I am. Right? Is that what's happening here? Your daughter's not dead. But they said she was. Well, just because someone says something doesn't make it so. God has final authority and final say-so in everything. And that's what I learned from this. It may look a certain way. You may hear it a certain way. But that doesn't mean it is that way. Verify it through the Word of God. They laughed him to scorn. Some people may laugh you to scorn. Some people may laugh me to scorn. Some people may laugh us to scorn when we take God's Word at face value. But that's okay. God's Word is final authority. And the Scripture says, they laughed him to scorn, but he put them out. And he taketh the father, the mother, and the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into the damsel, where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that nothing that something should be given her to eat. Now here's the final thought that I have. Okay? Jesus addressed her with a term of endearment, just like her father or her mother, just like one of them would have addressed her. Daughter, daughter, arise. He treated her like one of his own. And I'm glad that God treats us like his own. We are the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad that God loves us and God cares for us, and I'm glad that God will be there for us in times of desperation. Here was a man that was desperate. And in his desperate time, he brought himself together and he brought himself to Christ and he presented his need to the Lord. And through the process, things didn't go, no doubt, the way Jairus thought they would go, but nonetheless, they went the way that God wanted them to go, and that's better than the way we want them to go. And so I pray that we would learn some things from this passage of Scripture that would help us in approaching the Lord and in trusting Him and in having faith in His Word. Now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play softly. We're going to have an invitation. If you're at home, I'd ask you to bow your head. I wonder if during this time, as you bow your head, if God spoke to your heart through His Word. Maybe you have become a little anxious during this hour. And you know, I wouldn't ridicule you if you have. I think that there's some things to be anxious about in this hour. There's some things that we need to strongly consider. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. But if there's something that I've learned in my life as a Christian, as a pastor, in times of uncertainty, I do not want to focus on the uncertain things. I want to focus on the things I'm certain of. Now, there's some things I'm uncertain of, but I don't want to talk about those right now. I want to talk about things I'm certain of. I am certain that there's a God in heaven. And I am certain that He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am certain that God is listening, God is watching, and that God is in control. I am certain that God can meet the need of the hour. What is your need? Is it to be saved? Is that your need?